When you think of the Black Church, you, I guess, automatically think of the great movement behind the civil rights campaign in the United States. You think not only of Dr. King, but of Joseph Lowery and Ralph Abernathy. You associate it with the struggle for civil rights in the United States. But the Black Church has also been a critical player in the struggle for human rights for Australia's Indigenous peoples. And in a moment, we're going to speak to one of the most prominent and eloquent Indigenous leaders in the church today. But Stan, when we speak of the Indigenous church and its leadership in Australia today, this is very personal for you because very of personal. Your granddad.
My grandfather was in the church. My uncles were in the church. I was raised in the church, and there was no inconsistency or contradiction in embracing that Christianity with our Aboriginal culture and our Aboriginal identities. In fact, those two things merged to the extent that I could not separate the two. My Aboriginality was born out of that Aboriginal Christianity, and particularly in the church on the missions that I grew up in. My grandfather had been to war in World War II and come back and really embraced his Christianity after that, but also saw this as a very politically active faith as well, that this was a faith of the recognition of the fundamental equality of human beings. And that's how he expressed his Christianity, through that fundamental belief in justice and equality.
And he was a tent preacher too, wasn't he? Literally, yes. A travelling tent preacher in outback Australia.
Travelling preacher, handed that down to my uncle, who was a fire and brimstone, sweat mopping the brow preacher in the, you know, he'd shake the walls of the little mission church that we would attend as
and
a
point
boy.
At you.
Point directly. Well, I felt as if he was pointing directly at me, and I'd emerge from it with the weight of the world on my shoulders, because this was fire and brimstone. And, you know, I used to always say too, Andrew, that this was the church of the forsaken. This was the church of Ilai Ilai Lama Sabachthani. You know, my God, why have you forsaken me? There was a deep redemptive spirit in that faith. And, of course, the Aboriginal political movement, it's fair to say, grew out of these types of people, just like my grandfather, who campaigned for justice, equality, equal rights, citizenship, and said, if this is your faith, and this is our faith too, then you must see us as brothers and sisters in Christ and brothers and sisters equal to you in our country.
Well, let's pick up that theme here on the Religion and Ethics Report. Today, a special NAIDOC edition with me, Andrew West, and with Stan Grant. Let's pick that up, Stan, with someone who's really adopted and campaigned on that mantle of a campaigning social justice church. Brooke Prentice is one of the most eloquent Indigenous leaders in Australia today. She is an accountant. She's also a political scientist. She has a very long and glittering resume working for some of the top companies. But Brooke is now the Aboriginal spokesperson for Common Grace. It's a growing movement, over 40,000 Australian Christians who, not just Indigenous Christians, but Christians who are passionate about social justice. And Brooke joins us today in our Canberra studio. Brooke, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Brooke, am I correct in recalling that Indigenous Australians are the most observant Christians in this country?
Absolutely. One of the reasons for that is by following the example of those Aboriginal Christian leaders and elders that have gone before us, the likes of Uncle Cecil Grant, of Pastor Bill Bird, of, you know, Pastor Ozzie Cruz, of Auntie Jean Phillips, who's still with us, Uncle Ray Minicon, Uncle Reverend Graham Paulson. We have this long legacy of Aboriginal Christian leadership, and our elders continue to show us how important faith, following Jesus and fighting for justice is still today in 2019, and that's a huge inspiration to us. We need to get that word out there more, but the foundations of the Christian movement in Australia amongst Aboriginal peoples is still strong today. What it doesn't equate to is us sitting in the churches on a Sunday, and that's part of the work that I'm doing this year. I've got a senior fellowship with the Anglican Deaconess Ministries, so I'm very grateful for their support, where I'm writing a resource for the Australian Church in how to engage, build and deepen relationship with Aboriginal peoples, Aboriginal ministry and Aboriginal Christian leaders, because we've still got a long way to go in our Australian churches today in understanding who Aboriginal people are, building relationship with us and understanding the importance of that legacy of Aboriginal Christian leadership, not just for Aboriginal peoples and Torres Strait Islander peoples, but for all Australians.
Brooke, our faith can be a bittersweet one, and of course we know that the history of Christianity in Indigenous communities in Australia is also a very vexed one. How have you rationalised some of the darker aspects of that history with your faith and your own personal journey? Because I'm aware that at various stages of your life, you may have described yourself as a Christian first and an Aboriginal person second. You don't see that conflict now. Tell us about that journey and how you wrestle with that very, very conflicted history that the church and Aboriginal communities have in this country.
Yeah, it's a tough one. And, you know, as we think about this NAIDOC Week theme of voice, treaty, truth, that truth telling is so important. And the Australian Church has a long way to go in telling the truth. And the atrocities that the church and the missions have been involved in amongst our people. And that's another reason that sometimes going into a church is difficult for our peoples. And the church needs to realise that. And it can't just be Aboriginal Christians telling that truth. And that's not painting all missionaries as bad. You know, there were some good people, but we can't just focus on the good because we've got to have a balanced perspective on the truth. I guess that's where I'm trying to bring together Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian leaders through the movement like the Grass Tree Gathering, which was the vision of Auntie Jean Phillips. And we're now a network of over 200 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian leaders who didn't know each other 7 years ago. And so what one Aboriginal Christian leader through Auntie Jean Phillips has done, not just for us, but for the nation and for the Australian Church is massive. And there's been other leaders involved, but they're the ones feeding into our lives today. But we can't turn away from what happened in the churches. You know, the church is implicit in stolen land, stolen wages, stolen generations, but the church is important because the church should be a place of love, a place that shares the message of Jesus. And that is where our healing and our hope comes from. That high percentage of Aboriginal Christians today is because of how we walk across these lands now called Australia, and we see the brokenness, the sadness, the lack of the truth telling, the lack of hearing our voice, the lack of treaty. We have to cling so tightly to Jesus. And he's the one there still today.
I love hearing those names that you've just rolled off your tongue there, Uncle Graham Paulson and Uncle Osdy Cruz and Neville Naden, of course, who's my own family. My family is the Naden family as well. And, you know, when I was a boy, these were the men that I looked to and my uncles, and they were part of the Aboriginal Evangelical Fellowship. And I wanted to ask you about the attraction of Evangelical Pentecostal Christianity to Indigenous communities. And I suppose that's analogous to the Baptist movement in the Southern Christian Leadership Conference in the United States during the 1960s as well. But what was it specifically about an evangelical Pentecostal Christianity that appealed?
You know, the Aboriginal Evangelical Fellowship, I guess similar to what Auntie Jean has done with Grass Tree today, in that we needed to come together as Aboriginal Christian leaders. And the Aboriginal Evangelical Fellowship was one way of doing that, because as we fought for equality within the churches and still fight for equality within the churches today, I guess that's one of the special things for me about Aboriginal Christians and Torres Strait Islander Christians is that we are leading the ecumenical movement in Australia. We have had to band together across our denominations. We can hold together our theological differences because we've had to fight for survival. You know, when we look back at those past leaders for their lives, but even today, our Aboriginal Christian leaders, many of them are suffering from what we know as the lack of closing the gap, the poor health that many of our Aboriginal Christian leaders face today.
Brooke, I know from my own experience that many of these congregations and many Indigenous communities are very conservative, particularly socially conservative, and sometimes there can be a very literal interpretation of the Bible. Bible as well, and the scriptures. Given the backdrop of the debate around questions of religious freedom that we're having in Australia right now, where do you sit on this question of how people of faith can express themselves in an environment where we are much more sensitive to others and how others may take offence and how a message needs to be expressed and couched, but also alert to the fact that people of faith and people who hold strong values and opinions also need to feel as if they are protected and free to express their views publicly as well. Where do you sit on this question of public expression of faith and the freedoms to protect those rights?
Yeah, this is a tough one. And I think for all Aboriginal peoples, we're still in Australia in 2019, we're still being excluded from different elements of society and in the church. And when we think about the true history of Australia, and it's not till 1967 that the referendum to finally count us in the census is held and passed. So that exclusion, you know, you even look back, I've been doing a lot of work looking at William Cooper and what he had to say as an Aboriginal Christian leader about God as he fought for rights, and his 1937 petition to King George VI seeking an Aboriginal voice in Parliament, and that went to the Commonwealth Parliament, who rejected it and said that they would not pass it on to King George VI. So that exclusion from every area. I sat in Old Parliament House yesterday in Senator Neville Bonner's seat in the Senate and reflected on his life. And even though he achieved having a seat, he still suffered much exclusion. Whilst he may have been treated as an equal in the chamber, once he left the chamber, it's a very different story. When you're excluded to that sort of level, you know, we have to come back to the basis of love and respect for one another. And that's what drives me as an Aboriginal person and as a Christian, that to be aware of those instances where people do feel excluded. And we are called to love one another. You know, that is our greatest commands, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, and to love our neighbour as ourself. So that's what I hold central to my faith and my practice and my life. I'm very free to express my faith in this country. I'm probably more free to express my faith and my Christianity than the racism that exists and that I experience, and the misunderstandings, the stereotypes of Aboriginal peoples. And really, I think that's where the conversation should go. Because in 2019, whether it's as a professional, as a church leader, the racism is hurting people. And so let's really think about who is free and who is not. And I think that could change our conversation.
Brooke, thanks for bringing it back to core principles.
Thanks so much, and happy NAIDOC Week, everyone. And remember to celebrate. The celebration is important too.
And Brooke Prentice is Aboriginal spokesperson for the Christian movement Common Grace. And this year, she's also a senior fellow at Anglican Deaconess Ministries. Stan, briefly, based on what we've heard from Brooke and earlier from Elsa Greta Broderstadt, what's the likelihood of any further reconciliation by NAIDOC Week 2020?
I think that may be hoping for too much, Andrew. Yeah. This has been a very long process. Yeah. There are multi-layers to this. There are treaty processes underway at a state level, most notably in Victoria. There is the broader national campaign for a constitutional representative body, a voice in the Constitution, that would allow Indigenous people to have greater input and greater influence on the outcome of policy directed towards them. Ken Wyatt gave a speech at the National Press Club this week where he has outlined a roadmap potentially leading towards a referendum, but there is a lot of work still to be done. Yeah. What would a voice look like? What would that political structure involve? What would be the representation of that body? What would be its terms of influence? What would be its powers? And then, of course, it has to go to a referendum. And we know that it is a high bar in Australia. More than 40 referenda have been put to the Australian people. Only 8 have succeeded. But most notably, the most successful of all was in 1967. Vote yes for Aborigines, essentially filling out the citizenship of Indigenous people and counting them in the census. That is the high watermark of referenda in Australia. hoping to be able to replicate that with a referendum on a constitutional recognition of Indigenous people.
Yeah, well, Ken Wyatt, he's got a reputation as a good bloke, but a lot resting on his shoulders. Stan Grant, Griffith University Professor, the ABC's Indigenous and International Affairs Analyst. Thanks for being with us, Stan.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, we always love having you on the program. I'm Andrew West. I'm back next week.